It will go off, and dying, you shall die. The will of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God, notwithstanding. Why? You want to die. In the same manner, Christians wake up every day. They buy guns spiritually. They injure themselves. They take a knife and they are going on the road and say, I must die today. I must die today. They cut themselves. How? With their mouth. How they are judging other people. How they are speaking about situations in life. And they are saying, where is God? Because, listen, a man that wants to die should be allowed to die. It's free will. It's free will. It's free will. If you make up your mind that death is my portion, I shall give it to you. It's called just. That when you say God is just, that's what it means. That's why I say be careful. Don't just walk out of God's protection recklessly. People say, no, curse. You know, I say to them, forget these curses. You are not cursed. Unless you have not believed. Once you believe, the curse has been broken. Once you believe, the curse has been broken. Once you believe, the curse has been what? Broken. Don't need any special anointing service to break it. Said, tonight we shall break all generational curses. If you advertise that kind of meeting, I know they come. I'm not going. Let all those who want to give their life to Christ, let them go there. Anybody who has given his life to Christ needs teaching. He needs instruction. This is what he needs, what we are doing this evening. He needs to be instructed that being justified by faith, having been justified, you have peace with God. You have what? Peace with God. That's what believers need to know. How does it come? That's what I'm talking about again. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not that you did something to deserve it. It is that it was being given out freely and you collected your own. How do you collect your own? By faith. How do you collect your own? By faith. I was saying, what's the implication of righteousness? Righteousness simply means that if I was supposed to be poor, poverty has been removed. You were supposed to die early, premature death has been removed. All the problems that they lined up for me, spiritually speaking, has been removed. Why? Because the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Righteousness is, that's what it means. It means the prince of this world has come. There's nothing he can hold on. And spiritually, listen, you know, the way spiritual battle works, I told you that one before, spiritual warfare is fought in the presence of God. He observes it because it's a court fight. It's a legal fight. That's spiritual warfare. It's a legal fight. It's a legal fight. They come before the throne of God and they are saying that this boy should die. Why should he die? Because two generations ago, the father, a particular man started this and he's a descendant of that man. And this was carried into the next generation because they said that this will all happen. And listen, listen, this is how spiritual things work. A man starts a problem. Yeah, the people say that it's a curse. Yes, the curse has to be reignited. It has to be recharged in every generation. And this is how generations charge it. It's simple. Listen, let me just quickly drop this one. You remember Eli? There was a curse upon his family. All right? All your descendants, they will have to beg bread. But one of the descendants was still in the priestly office. And then he betrayed David. And David removed him. That it might be fulfilled, the word that was spoken to Eli many generations before that. That is, there was a curse, but until he went into the act of betrayal, it did not come upon him. So, what happens? A man is a sinner. A curse is upon him. It's been ignited in a particular generation. The next generation, his son also begins it. And one of the ways by which the son reignites is simple. Curses come because a man does something wrong. Not because a man just vexed, say, I put a curse upon your family. No. Let all the Ogbanje spirits, the Ogboni spirits, and all the evil spirits in your village gather together. Surround your family compound and place a curse upon it. It can't do anything. Unless you did something first. All those guys can only plead their case before the throne of God. I hope you're getting my point. So maybe a man decides, as an example, the next generation, the curse is hanging, looking for how to land. Then the man ignites something again. How does it do it? But this example just in my mind. God said, I will not accept sacrifice from your hands because you dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. So that man is going one day in the village square. In that village, man, now I see one young girl, we can't sell kunu. Now I pursue babe, we can't sell kunu. And the richer is being quarrel with the older wife. What is wrong with you, sir? I have told you that I want my yam burnt exactly at 25 degrees. The woman said, what are you talking about? What is degree? I've been cooking yam like this for how many years? This man's never complained. Look at it now. Today, now it's 32 degrees. You roasted this thing. Now I'm beginning to have irritation in my mouth. You see, when men start misbehaving sometimes, it is that girl selling kunu. I'm a man. I cannot take nonsense. You cannot be cooking food the way you like it in my house. It's the kunu girl. That's the problem. As soon as that kunu girl enters the house, that's it. Satan says, oh, well, we worship the Lord. We have to thank God anyway. You know, I say, guys, come. Obanje spirits, come here. Any girl, any picking where this girl born for this house, we must chop him. Obanje will line the weight. Hey, just get belly first. They are waiting. So the poverty spirit will pass. Say, where are you going? I've been cast out. You've been cast out. Come here. Stay. But it's because several spirits, the guy who opened the door of them was inside his house. That's it. Problems begin. Then he teaches his unfortunate son, you know, generational curses. I say, you must never take nonsense. That's how I drove your mother away. Because she roasted my yam beyond the Celsius that was agreed scientifically. The boy too goes feeling like a tough man because his father was very rich. You know, the man was a rich man. He feels like a tough guy. Before somebody talks, say, what's wrong with you? Let me just say, I can't take that kind of nonsense. Then he too deals treacherously with the wife of his youth, another generation. Those spirits say, thank you. Then they move from one generation to another. And they say, there's a generational curse. First of all, there's generational misbehavior. Want to break the curse without breaking the power of unrighteousness. Is that not why we teach the way we teach? That men must first of all be reconciled to God, and the only way the effect of the sins of the generations can be removed is by the shedding of the blood, and that is the blood of Jesus has been shed. And anyone that believes comes under the cover of that blood and is automatically delivered. He needs to by himself walk out. And this is what Satan does. He starts saying, hey, this is our house. He starts tempting. That's all he can do. Temptation. That's all he can do. He said, the Satans, they will not gather and say, we need a meeting. They say, what do we do? How did we come here in the first place? It was a girl selling kunu. Aha. So do they still drink kunu? And I said, no, not ice cream for ShopRite. So he will tell the broad, go and buy ice cream in ShopRite. Welcome, sir. Get behind me, Satan. The curse is, you know, it's all suspended. Some people are so charged with the word of God, and that's your portion, amen? Amen. They don't even notice. All the evil spirit will tabernacle inside that girl. Welcome, sir. The guy said, welcome, how are you doing? What can I do for you? All I want is ice cream. Cover your breast. I just want ice cream. He's a man of God. Doesn't mean he's a preacher. Just means he believes the word of God. And the girl does not know that she's an agent of Satan. She gives him the ice cream and the guy goes away. The Satan will say, yay, kunu did not work. And one Satan says to the other, but why don't they go to church now? They don't teach them the way of righteousness. Righteousness delivers from what? Death. I hope you are getting my point. This is how this thing works. This is how it works. Once the fellow walks into Christ Jesus, everything has been wiped, everything. Satan has to go out to try and entice him again, to pull him from under the cover of that blood. And if for any reason he ever comes out of the cover or under the cover, and he discovers himself, because one of the things God does is to give him a slap, and he wakes up. What did I do? He goes and he confesses his sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive him of that sin. Notice this, and then wipe away the unrighteousness. Because every act of disobedience has a just recompense of reward. Forgiveness is that we have to wipe it away. God does something active about it. Let me get back to where we started the message from. That righteousness is a gift. That forgiveness is a gift. Righteousness means the prince of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. The prince of this world is coming. Poverty is not my portion. The prince of this world is coming. Infertility is not my portion. The prince of this world is coming. Premature death is not my portion. The prince of this world is coming. He can't hold me. Why? Because I can stand bold. The righteous, they are bold as a lion. I can stand in his face and say, I have been forgiven. Like I said on Tuesday, that's why I want everybody to understand. If you're a black man, understand it. If you're an African, understand it. There was a time Noah placed a curse upon Ham, and he placed it upon Ham and his descendants. And it was recorded by Moses, the account of the one that affected Canaan. He said, curse be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. But if you look at the scriptures well, the same thing applied to all the descendants of Ham also, all the other descendants. Cush, Put, Mizraim, all of them. And it has played out in the events of this earth till today. But this is what righteousness is. Canaan has been forgiven. Are you getting my point? Ham has been forgiven. All their descendants have been forgiven. So they can walk back to Noah and look at it and say, Noah, I am not cursed at all. I place a curse upon your ancestor. He said, do you know my own ancestor? His name is Jesus Christ. He said, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. I am not cursed. I cannot be cursed. I am a righteous man. I'm a righteous woman. What do you need to attain it? Nothing. It's a gift. I happen to have been dead the day they were sharing it out. They said, accept it. I put out my hands and I accepted my own, and it's by faith. For all the effects of the sin of Ham, it has been paid. Jesus paid it. You are free. I'm free. We are free in Christ Jesus. That's the meaning of righteousness. How do we attain it? By faith. Do I need to sow a seed to get out of poverty? Around nonsense. I'm out of poverty. You sow a seed to get out of the place where you are still in. Some people are confessing some confessions. They don't realize it. Say, tonight, if you want to get out of poverty, come forward. Hey, oh boy, you are sitting in poverty. Me, I'm sitting now. Ain't going anywhere. He said, but I don't have money yet. Come on, open your eyes. Spiritual things are real. Spiritual things are what? They are real. They take their time to bring forth their manifestation. One of the things that God needs to do is to rearrange your brain, your mind, your heart, your attitudes to be able to hold it when it comes. Because the manifestations of divine nature is powerful. Many people are crushed under the weight. The word glory in the scriptures is doxa. It means weight. And Paul said there is a weight of glory. For God to bring forth that weight upon you, you must have strength to carry it. You are not in poverty. Amen. You are just in a stage. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now they are making a call. If you want to come out of poverty, come out here. You all sit down there. Say, what's the problem? Say, I'm out of poverty. Okay, you still there. If you are there, you and your friends, deliver yourselves. I am out of poverty already. I am out of poverty already. You are out of poverty already. How do I know? Because henceforth, I know no man after the car he drives. Are you getting my point? All I know is that if any man, any woman is in Christ, he's a rich creation. All poverties are passed away. Behold, every wealth has come. I'm not judging by what I can see. He doesn't have a car yet, that's his problem. He doesn't have this yet, he doesn't have gold yet, doesn't matter. These are spiritual matters. We judge these things not after the flesh, but after the revelation of the word of God that we have. That's what righteousness is. I need to emphasize it again. That is what righteousness is. I needed to emphasize it again. That is what righteousness is. It is not something you attain to by your own labor. It's not. It's something you receive. I like what the way Bishop Oedipo used to say things like this. He said, life is not an achievement. It is a receivement. Are you getting my point? It's not an achievement. It's a receivement. The first gift I gave my wife, that is, I didn't know her then. She was not my wife. She was just one young woman I met somewhere who I wanted to go and see what the Lord was saying. Amen? Actually, my friends were doing that. IJ was doing that. She called me one day and said, okay, come. Something's going on. So I said, let me show up. Let me not show empty-handed. So I went to buy a gift. Then on the way, I said, why are you buying an expensive gift? You don't know this lady yet. So I went back to my apartment and made a copy of a message titled, Go for Discoveries by Bishop David Oyedepo. That message is very powerful. He said, go for what? Discoveries. Because life is not your achievement. You just need to discover that which God has given you already. That was a message. That was the first gift I gave my wife. I got to her room that day. They were having a birthday party. Okay, I brought you a birthday gift also. Guys, just by the way, stop going empty-handed. It's acceptable according to what you have. I didn't say you go and buy a Lamborghini. You can't afford the Lambo tire. So what's your problem? But don't go empty-handed. Amen? Amen. Chris, don't go empty-handed. Amen? And that just by the way. The point I'm making here, however, is this. I went through my collection. I said, which one is the most appropriate? I picked that message titled, Go for Discoveries. Because what Christians actually need in life is what? Discoveries. We discover what God has given us. That's it. We discover it. What am I saying? He has given. It's not by our strength. We did not labor to achieve it. We cannot labor to achieve it. Many of the things people are looking for in life are the effects of righteousness. But they are trying to labor to achieve it. What you should do is labor in faith. You know, the first seminar we did here was the real faith. And one of the messages, it was 3 days. One of the messages was titled, How to Labor Correctly. How to labor correctly. You labor in the word of God. Ah! Every day I see people, I feel sorry for them. Many people are free, but somebody has lied to them that they are in bondage. So they labor morning, afternoon, and night trying to get free. All they need to do is just live free. But they are trying to get free. I told you the other day, I heard a man preach. I was not there. It was reported to me. He said, you will sow a seed to break the effect of the sins of 3 generations. I said, Jesus forgot some things when he was going to the cross, apparently. He forgave the whole world. Assuming your name is Mr. XBC. I don't know what's XBC anyway. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world minus Mr. XBC's generations. That is why you need to sow a seed to nullify the effects of the works of 3 generations. How can you even nullify the effect of the generations above my head? You can't. You want to nullify the effect of the faith of Abraham? I don't want to sow that seed. You want to nullify the effect of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I don't want to sow that seed. Is that your ancestors? Come on, forget it. I've cut that lineage. I've cut it. I've rejoined myself to the proper lineage. And that is a lineage that flows through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, that's what righteousness is. The moment you encounter God is because you came by the blood of Jesus. And the only thing he sees is a righteous person. Say, your sins have been washed. Are you getting my point? That's why we read through all of those portions in Romans chapter 3 into chapter 5. He said righteousness is a gift. Is what? A gift. I want you to understand it. Righteousness is what? A gift. That's why I said to you last time, once I caused confusion, I told somebody, I said, I don't believe there's any, in fact, I didn't say I don't believe. I said, there's nobody on earth more righteous than I am. And the fellow couldn't believe it. He didn't understand what I was talking about. There's a righteousness according to the law. There's a righteousness according to Nigerian law. There's a righteousness according to European law. But there is a righteousness of God. It's only attained through faith in Christ Jesus. And since I knew I had attained it, I said, nobody is more righteous than me on this earth. And the fellow looked at me and he wanted to pick a stone also, like the days of Jesus Christ. He said, this man blasphemes. No, I'm not blaspheming. I'm just telling you the word of God. He said, what have you done? This is your life. They say you are righteous. I didn't do anything. Somebody gave me a gift. And he said, that gift is what? Righteousness. The righteousness of God is a gift. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't like competition. You know, when the Bible says, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. You know what that means? I don't like competition. I don't like competition at all. If I want to bless you, I will ensure that I'm the only one blessing you. Once we are two, I leave it alone. If I want to make you righteous, I must be the only one doing it. Once we are two, I leave it alone. Are you getting my point? My glory I won't share with any any graven image, including your own head. Your wisdom is a graven image. Your effort is a graven image. I will not share my glory with any. When it comes to looking at you and say, this is a righteous man, he's a righteous woman, I won't share that glory with anybody. Listen, that was why Esau failed and Jacob succeeded. When you look from human perspective, Jacob was a bad guy. Esau was a good one. But when you look from divine perspective, Esau was bound to fail. Because God doesn't share his glory. Esau did not need anything from God. He didn't need it. As far as he was concerned, he could do the things that he needed to do. And that was why God arranged it, collected the best right from him, and gave to the fellow who understood it, who understood the importance, who understood the significance. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. God does not share his glory. Listen to me. That's why, listen, true Christians, there are many things, not all men have faith, or all men don't have faith, the Bible says, all right? There are many things in life that have been created for those without faith. So human beings pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They work hard. But people of God, it's not like that. When it even comes to walking above sin, God says, if I'm not the one doing it, you can walk in all the sin you want. I don't know whether you get the point I'm making. That's why, anyway, let me not even go there now. You can't go and lock yourself somewhere, say, I don't want to behold iniquity, so I won't be contaminated. You are still a sinner. You are still a sinner. The walls of a monastery can't make you holy. It has only isolated you. God is the one that cleanses you inside out. Go and read this story. Ben Carson's story. Gifted Hands. He said he was an angry young man. He was angry. He did not know how angry he was until a friend provoked him slightly. And he took a knife and sent it to the boy's stomach. But God delivered him and that boy. And that the boy was wearing a belt. A big buckled belt under his shirt. So that knife hit the belt, the buckle of the belt. And that was how that boy was not critically injured. The boy was so shocked, he didn't fight back, he ran. Like, what is going on? You know, like you tell your friend, hey, well, how far now? This you won't slap. I can't slap. You know the return ammo. According to Alibaba, it's the kind of slap that sends into meditation. He's asking, what did I say? How did I say it? Am I owing him money? You know that kind of thing. Ali Baba said that kind of slap sends you into meditation. You know that kind of thing. Ben Carson said when it happened to him, when that happened, he suddenly realized. The Bible said the prodigal son came to himself. He also came to himself. He ran down home. He knelt down. I think he ran into the bathroom or something or closet, locked the door, and stayed there, I don't know for how long. By the time he came out, his name became Gentle Ben. He didn't go through 17 steps of anger management. No. He just ran to God's presence. The Bible says we should draw near, are you getting my point, to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. By the time God cleansed him, his name became Gentle Ben. So gentle that he became, all right? So gentle did he become that one day he worked as a neurosurgery resident. He walked into the ward and a nurse there looked at him, a white woman, and said, which patient did you come here to carry? You know, typical American, well, I've been angry. What kind of thing is this? You are racial profiling me. This is discrimination. This is marginalization. I am going to report to the whatever. Y'all looked at the woman and just smiled. I said, I didn't come to carry a patient. I'm Dr. Carson. The woman started apologizing. He said, look, don't blame her. She had never seen a black man there as a surgical resident. Never. This is Johns Hopkins. She had never sinned. So what do you expect? That's how gentle he became. His name was Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben wouldn't hurt a fly. You couldn't provoke him to anger. Not because of his own righteousness. That's the point I'm making. But because he went to God and begged for his power to work in his life. That's the meaning of God is a jealous God. All the bad habits in you, he is going to remove it by himself. Some people say, you have to stop this thing you are doing so you can start coming to church. You can't stop it until you come to church. Are you getting my point? You can't repent of your sins and then you believe. That nonsense. You believe first. You have to believe first. That's the power to repent. That's the power to be changed. What must we do to work the works of God? Repent of your sins. Don't do anything bad again. No, that's John the Baptist's gospel. The gospel of Jesus? No. Believe on him whom he has sent. Why? Because if you believe, works begin to grow out from inside the heart of that fellow that has believed. Listen, that's what, you know, I said something to you here before. No woman can come and tell me that, I want to get married. The guy is a very nice guy. I'm not impressed. I hate nice guys. I don't like them. They ain't taking you anywhere in life. He's very gentle. Mm-hmm. You think Esau was not gentle? Hey, look, there are things that don't impress me. Nice guys don't impress me. You know what I like? Men that love the word of God. If he's an arm robber today, don't worry. He will repent tomorrow. The word will transform him. What do I like? People that love the presence of the word of God. Who would rather go and study the word of God and watch the finals of AFCON? Yes. Bishop Oedipo said, it's easy to discern what a man's future will be like. Hear what he said. Don't hear him talk today. Not how he's nice. Are you getting my point? I want a man that talks the word of God. I want a man who goes to get the word of God. Who the word of God is primary for him. That's the best thing I want to. He said, Pastor, you know, he never forgets my birthday. I have forgotten my wife's birthday before. And she still loves me. And now she's still happy she married me. So he doesn't forget your birthday means nothing. Listen. You want a husband that can prophesy over your children. You want to marry Terry Mize. You know what I mean by Terry Mize? Terry Mize was a man who wanted to marry Jackie. Jackie said, doctors don't. They don't rule. What is their rule? What's their judgment? This woman can never have a child. And Terima said, that's not the problem. They don't know anything. There is something I know. The God who caused those things that be not as though they were. You want a husband like that? It's always so nice. How are you doing this morning? Is your face still paining you? Prophesy about the face, whether it's paining me or not. What's your problem? So if it's paining me, I've told you now, Pele, they heal disease. You don't want a nice guy. I'm telling you, women, you don't want a nice man. Niceness is good when other things are in place. We use niceness and then I like a man that wears a nice cap. It's good. After other things have been put in place, that's the point we are making. Oh, let's even talk about guys too. That guy knows how to cook only. Hunger is your problem. I can't imagine. No, really. When a man has been brought up with hunger, he starts appreciating those who can cook. You have eaten in better restaurants. What's your problem with who can cook? You go and buy food. So the girl, she knows how to cook. Oh, I like the way she dresses. How to dress? Knowing it is one way. Having the money to do it is the second way. If you don't know how to dress, don't worry. God will bless us. I will give it to people who know how to dress. They will dress you up for me. I pay them.